Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I got a bonus ass Trav for Mr. Travis Rogers. This one is from Andres Padilla. I hope I'm saying your name right. He says, if they're making a movie about you, Travis Rogers movie, who is going to play the role of Sliwa?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think Nick would be buying tickets to it, first of all. I think it would be a movie that he would choose to sit out. Stanley Tucci is the guy that's going to play you in all these things. You guys have a really strong resemblance to one another. I don't know if
you've said that a couple
Stanley
times
Tucci is a tall person or not, but the facially, you guys look a lot alike. So I think, and Andy's a really good actor, and he's been in a million things. So whoever is going to play Slee in anything, Stanley
height
Tucci's
is,
the first
yeah,
guy.
Height is on.
Is
We're
it right about right there?
5'8"-ish.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you need
Tucci.
To have your person, though, be hotter than Stanley Tucci, or are you not really caring? You just want accuracy?
No, they just got, Jeb Bush would play me.
Yep.
Jeb Bush would play.
Jeb, exclamation point.
Come see the Travis and Sliwa movie starring Jeb Bush and Stanley Tucci.
And again, his name on the poster needs to be Jeb, exclamation point, instead of just Jeb.
Yeah, low energy Jeb, right? I get that one periodically. That, you know what else I get? With the beard, I don't get it anymore, but what I used to get was Seth MacFarlane fairly regularly, too.
What about Jack Nicholson?
That's not very nice, Emily. He's a good actor, but I don't. Jack Nicholson is like 90 years old at this point. Big one for the Lakers tonight. We're down almost into
single digits. Yeah.
10 games to go tonight.
7 by the time we get back here on Monday. They got 3.
Oh, yeah. They
games
play tonight,
the
Friday, and Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So they got 3 coming up. They are, as we sit here at March 22nd, 11:01 a.m., they're outside the line. Mm-hmm. They're in 11th place. Phoenix tonight, OKC Friday, and Chicago on Sunday. All 3 at Crypto.com. They need to win 6 of these games to get into the playoffs. And here's the rest of the schedule. At Chicago, at Minnesota, at Houston, at Utah, at Clippers. They got 5 road games in a row.
Yep.
And then they finish with 2 at home, Phoenix and Utah. Mm-hmm. You got to find 6 wins in those 10 games. Mm-hmm. 6 wins in those 10 games, I think, get you in. I'm not even, well, this one's more important than that one. You need to win 6 of these 10 to get in the playoffs, and I think that's good enough.
So they're in a spot, too, where I'm not going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they got, let's just use Phoenix as an example. When you and I were looking at this Phoenix game, let's say 3 weeks ago, okay, you knew that, KD, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, this, no Ayton tonight, no Kevin Durant tonight, and you're at home. Now, this was a kind of a similar situation last Friday when no Luka for the Dallas Mavericks. Lakers still lost that game without Luka. Mm-hmm. At home against the Dallas Mavericks. So everybody kind of knows how important all these games are, and they still lost that game. So they don't get any benefit of the doubt, but you would think without Ayton, without KD, the Lakers take care of a game like this. And if they lost the game, I know what you're going to say. You wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be shocked.
Logically, you're right. Like, your analysis is right, but
let's put it this way.
I don't know.
Let's put it this
way.
They
got to win 6 of these.
You need 6 of these games. How are you getting to 6 if you can't beat the Suns when you're at home without Ayton and KD?
They're good enough to beat any of these 10 teams, and they're bad enough to lose to all of them. That's how. I don't know. I don't know which one it's going to be. I don't know which one it's not going to be. I know that if you are bad enough to lose to Houston, you can lose to anybody. If you're good enough to look like the way that they've looked against New Orleans when they beat them, went up by 40, that team beats anybody. Mm-hmm. They are good enough to beat all 10 of those. They are bad enough to, or I don't even say bad enough. That's a bridge too far. They're inconsistent enough to lose to any of those 10 teams.
I think you
say
bad
enough. Are a slam dunk.
I think you say bad enough.
Yeah, bad, inconsistent. Take your pick. But there are none of those 10 games are like, oh, they're going to win that one. They lost to Houston.
I saw
a week ago.
I saw a quote. Read it this morning, but saw Darvin Ham yesterday. I think it was after practice, and he's talking about how the race is so close. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he says, it's causing them to come to the game on high alert and high awareness. Just having someone to play for, you'd be surprised how comfortable guys are with that opposed to having to play a meaningless game. The fact that these games carry so much weight, I think, is causing our guys to lock in more. I don't see any stress. I hear what he's saying. I just don't agree with it. I mean, the idea and the concept that this last 2 week stress, or this last 2 week stretch, we're watching Lakers basketball. I'm not walking away thinking what he's saying. Darvin Ham saying,
"I'm with you."
Darvin Ham saying that these games carry so much weight; they're even locked in more. Were they locked in that Rockets game? Were they locked in that Dallas game? Were they locked in that Orlando game that we had on Sunday, where basically the game is tied and you need Austin Reeves to drop 35 for you? I'm not trying to. This is what I'm watching. I'm not seeing a team that's desperate, holding on. Hey, you know what? We were at one point, we started the season out 2-10, but we're not that team anymore. Since the trade deadline, we're not that team anymore. But that could just be who they are as well, where I've kind of created a perception in my head. Remember, they were 9-4 after the trade deadline, so sure. You kind of start selling yourself a little bit.
That was the point where I was super optimistic about what was coming next.
So that kind of goes back to, I don't think that each one of these games, it's not a representation to me that they've been as locked in as you're hoping for.
No, I agree with that. I think you're right about it. And I think it comes down to, for better or for worse, depending on which dude shows up, it comes down to Anthony Davis's performances. Because like you said, the Dallas game was a perfect representation of, your best player went crazy for the last couple of minutes of that game. He missed free throws. He had a bad foul. He didn't close out. All of the things that needed to go wrong, they all did, and it was all one guy. He's also your best player.
Yeah.
It's really hard to talk about being locked in when the guy that has to be locked in to give you your best chance is frequently not. That's really hard to – like. Do I believe that Austin Reeves is locked in? Sure. Do I believe that Vanderbilt is locked in? I do. Do I believe that the other
– Those are not the guys.
Not the guys. It's Anthony Davis needs to be locked in, and sometimes he is, and sometimes he isn't. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to something that Sedano said yesterday during the late edition of Super Crosstalk. I want you to listen to this because – I understand the sentiment. I just don't agree with the outcome.
You know what? What I've said, Ireland, and Cappy can attest to this. I said, if you're not rooting for Anthony Davis,
George says you can go to hell.
You can go to hell.
Right. No,
I'm with Sedano.
That's what he
said. Go to hell, people.
Go to hell.
Rooting for Anthony Davis. If they make the playoffs, it's because of Anthony Davis. If they miss the playoffs, it's because of Anthony Davis.
Right.
This is go time.
That's fair.
Man.
Yes.
You carry this team to the playoffs.
But also go to hell.
Okay. Look. The only way they're going to get in, and certainly the only way they're going to do any damage if they can, is if Anthony Davis is really good. But I understand the impulse to be deeply frustrated with him. It's not like, oh, come on, man, let's do it, let's go get it. That is really Pollyanna-ish in my – that this thing that is wildly inconsistent to, oh, no, now it's going to be great. I don't have that gear to be optimistic when – there really isn't a ton of reasons to be optimistic. I'm going to go based on what I've seen. Some nights he's terrific. Other nights he's not. I guess I'm going to hell. I'm rooting for him. I want him to succeed, but I'm not going to pretend, oh, no, it's going to happen. Why would I think that? It hasn't happened. It happens about 65% of the time. That leaves 35% of the time where it doesn't happen. Well, it's incredibly frustrating.
I don't think – listen, if you're a Laker fan – I'm assuming you're rooting for every player that's on the Lakers.
Sure.
I'm assuming that you're rooting for Darvin Ham to have success. I'm assuming that you're rooting for Rob Pelinka to be the best GM that's out there in the NBA. You're rooting for your team to win, but there's also frustration that comes with this Lakers team, as any team. It doesn't matter. You have frustration, whether it's the Dodgers or it's the – it doesn't matter. Everyone has frustration with their team. The AD piece of it, the reason why he's so highlighted, especially in these last couple of weeks, I'm not saying you could hide behind LeBron James because that's too harsh of a word, but when Bron is there...
I think it's the right word.
When Bron is there, Anthony Davis is... Okay, if AD doesn't have the 33 and the 15, you can still really easily win the game because Bron gave you 28, 8, and 8.
Sure.
When Bron's not there, you do not have the luxury of Anthony Davis having 15 and 10 and shooting 50% from the free throw line or missing critical free throws. You don't have that luxury. So that frustration that comes with AD, one night, like you just mentioned, I can be sitting here and saying, man, if AD won the game, he had 33 and 15, he had two blocks and he had two steals. He won the game. But the very next night to be talking about the same person and that guy had 20 and 9, well, you're not going to win the game if that's the case. That's happened before occasionally, where they'll win a game and A didn't have the night that he had.
Orlando.
But that's not Or Toronto.
Right, the Orlando game where Austin Reeves was the reason they won that
game.
But
that's not sustainable.
Right, of course not.
So that's I guess, ultimately the way we all kind of critique Anthony Davis. It's because he needs to have these games in order to win.
You know, in the interest of trying to be as fair to Anthony Davis as I can be, I think it's more that we thought we were getting one thing and we got something else. Because this idea, well, can he be the best player on a championship team? I think we know the answer is probably not, right? But that's not an insult. There are maybe 7 or 8 of those guys in the whole league. Saying he's not one of those is not insulting. Damian Lillard is clearly not that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make him not a great player. It means that we just don't quite have it. It's LeBron. It's Giannis. It's, you know, we're running.
You're assuming it's going to be Luka. Right? You're going to assume Joker. And these guys haven't won it.
Those are assumptions, yeah, right? When we're talking about guys that have, it's LeBron. It's Giannis. It's Curry. It's Durant. It's like it's a pretty short list of guys.
Yeah.
So to say he's not one of those guys, I think, is not insulting, but we thought he was. That when he came over and they gave away the entire store to bring him over, which, by the way, I thought it was a good idea. I still think you got a championship
out of it. It is still
a good
idea.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But you thought, okay, LeBron's going to be able to very, very slowly kind of fade into that second role, occasionally be the best player. But AD's got the game, the personality, the health to really kind of carry, to be the best player as they continue to win championships. And it just hasn't happened. It's not an insult. It's just unfortunate that it hasn't happened.
I think there's a couple things to that. I think, first off, there's basically no individual player, I think, in today's NBA that can go win you a championship on their own. You got to have players.
I agree.
Okay, so I think the way the baton passing, remember after Lakers won the championship, they go out, re-rank all the players, it's 1 and 2. Bron is 1, Anthony Davis is 2. I'm okay with, if Anthony Davis is not the best player on a championship team, that's all right. That's okay. You won a championship, and Bron was the best player, mm-hmm. but what kind of takes it to the next level is you're not trying to win a championship with Anthony Davis today. You're trying to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Bron's not there. And Bron is not there. So you're not asking Anthony Davis, go beat the Denver Nuggets or go beat the Phoenix Suns with KD and all these guys without Bron. You're just saying, hey, can you be there consistent enough to grab one of these top 8 seeds? And then maybe Bron comes back. Listen, the team was not built to have one or the other out. Right. It was built for both of them to be there, but you're not asking them to win a chip.
To your point, if one of them is still there, you would think they would be one of the 10 best teams in the conference.
Yeah, carry away.
That's not, yes, you're not winning a championship unless they're both there, but if one or the other is there, you would have thought that they'd still be good enough to be one of the top 10
teams. And here's
what's
not happening. What's not happening is we're saying, AD is giving you 35 and 15 every night. He just doesn't have enough help.
No, it's not.
That's not the conversation we're having. If it was the conversation, then Anthony Davis would be talked about less.
Ohtani is about to get very, very rich. The question is, how rich and from whom? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, guys, I know we're going to get into Ohtani and how much money they're going to pay them, which is probably as much as, you know, one home in Los Angeles, maybe.
How much does he want? That's how much he's going
to
get.
Exactly. But I was listening to Mason and Island yesterday and the What's Up Fool segment, and I got a little slandered.
Uh-oh.
I got a little done dirty, I think. And so, okay, so Clinton went to go see the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once yesterday, so for the first time. And I was talking to Clinton, and I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that movie a bunch. I love that movie. And I told him that I'd seen it 7 times in 1 year. That's 365 days. I saw that movie 7 times. Okay?
Seven times?
It's a lot.
But, okay. I'm gonna explain this, though. I watched, and so Greg put this in What's a Fool out of context, didn't give it context. And so this is what.
I don't know if there's a lot of context to 7 times in 1 year, but go ahead.
This is what Mason said.
There's movies you've watched 7 times, right?
Well, yes.
In 1 year?
Not in 1 year.
Not in 1 year. That's where you kind of got me.
That's odd. That's a weird personality quirk she's got.
Okay. Yes, it might be a weird personality quirk that I have, but I've watched it in different scenarios. Okay, so I watched it first, the opening weekend in March. I knew it was going to be a good movie, so I wanted to go see it. So that was a year ago, almost a year ago to this day. So I watched it once, and then I watched it at a rooftop cinema club with a friend. That was back in July.
That's
so I
enough right
again.
There.
Yeah.
So those are two perfect. Those are two perfect screenings. I get the second one. I don't know how five more get in there.
Yeah. Back up, Sliwa. She's got 5 more to get through.
I watched it once with when it first came out on streaming because I wanted to see it again. It's a multiversal movie. There's a lot of things I didn't get the first two times. Twice by myself, once with a friend. Third time, I saw it with another friend that wanted to see it, wanted an excuse to go see it, so I saw it with him, and it was really fun. It's actually, my roommates came in and out and stuff, so it was like kind of like a roommate bonding event, so that's the fourth time. I saw it with my family when I was home for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I have, my family wanted to watch it, and so I was like, hey, we should do that, and it'd be really fun, and a little bonding time with my whole family, so I saw it a fifth time with my whole family. I saw it another time. Another friend was visiting, trying to get caught up on the Oscar-nominated movie, so that's a sixth time.
So a third time by yourself.
And then with a friend.
I watched it a third time by myself.
I saw it 3 times by myself, 4 times with other people. I do think that it's a great movie. And
I don't, okay.
I'm not asking everyone else to watch it 7 times. I liked it, and I don't think it's that weird.
You wanted to offer more context to it, right? She wanted to offer more context. I don't know if that helped at all. I don't know if that helped at all. That seems, right. When you got to 2, I didn't know how you're going to find 5 more. The first 2 I was okay with. It's an extra screening. Just kind of the idea of it. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
Here's what I it's too many times. We'll just leave it at that.
You watch Dodgermentaries all the time. You've seen the Fernando Mania 15 million times.
It's different. Fernando's important
how
to
is it different?
It's
it won an Oscar.
Hold on a second. Who cares if we won an Oscar? I've never seen you move so fast in my life. Like I see this door swing open and Bergman comes racing in. I know that you'll pop in occasionally. I look forward to it. It's good, but you
were
highly motivated to get in here.
Well, because I knew that it was going to be some slander that goes into the... So let's be honest about this whole thing. Did I or did I not talk to you about this ahead of time?
You did.
Okay, so there's that portion of it. Second thing is, it's 7 times
it's
in 1 year.
A lot of
like,
times.
It's in 1 year. It's different if it's like, oh, I've watched it 7 times in my life, but the movie's only been out for a year.
Okay,
if I had to think, Shawshank Redemption,
probably 15 times.
If I had to think of a movie I've seen 7 times, I would tell you probably The Godfather.
I haven't
but
seen it 7 times.
I would tell you
that's 3 hours long.
I'd tell you Dumb and Dumber. I'd tell you
I think there's an important distinction.
But more
here.
Based on this, it was on TV. I wasn't planning to see it. But Talladega Nights was
and
on again.
It's not from beginning to end. You'll catch a half hour here and there. Yeah. Like if you added it all up, it's probably 7 times. But it's the effort that you're putting in to go to the theater, to take it in from the very opening scene to the very final conclusion of the movie, that is extreme, I think, to Mason and to myself and to some others.
I'm a marketing campaign.
Because I will catch 20 minutes of it here and there, right? There are movies, Star Wars, right? When I was a kid, I bet I did see Star Wars in the theater 4 or 5 times.
The Big Lebowski, old school movies that are also just on.
They're on.
That's when I would tell you.
I've seen Dazed and Confused probably 50 times.
All right.
Exactly. I've seen it probably 50 times.
All right.
Easy for me to watch. I did not watch it 7 times in 1 year. I just so that was what the question was just about, and you could see that throwing some slander at you. No,
I'm just saying it Emily, was that I have a
look. You, I'm just you, happy she was listening.
You may
awesome.
Need to go to the rage room after I read this next tweet.
Okay,
are you ready?
Okay. Jorge said that it's overrated. Okay, fine.
Well, you're really not going to like this then.
Well, Jorge was crazy for things.
It was good. This is from great. Nick Harvey in the Travis and Sliwa community.
I probably need to see it one more time.
Nick writes, I couldn't get through 15 minutes of that thing. I can't imagine 7 times.
Okay, so this is, again, one thing that I have. People who are older are always saying, oh, the younger generation doesn't have the time span. Okay, you only watch it for 15 minutes? You're giving this amazing masterpiece of the movie only 15 minutes of your time? I think that's kind of a little bit of an indication on you.
I mean, you're going the exact other extreme. You're watching it in full. Wait,
what do you mean?
I don't think it's extreme at all.
That's not slanderous, Greg.
what do you mean?
Going through the whole thing, like, that's actually...
When are you
going
to watch it again, Emily?
I'll watch it today, actually, guys. I'm going to go watch it today just to prove you
tonight
guys
at
wrong.
6, there's a screening in Culver City.
It's in the theater in the Regal across the street.
Oh, no, it's also in the Alamo, and there's a Q&A. There was a Q&A with the costume designer where they can ask her some questions.
Would you ask her questions? What question would you ask the costume designer?
There's
Nick Harvey out of his mind for only being able to sit through 15
minutes. Look, it's confusing. The first time you see it, it is confusing.
The costume designer hasn't seen it 7 times. She's not going to know what to ask. The costume designer is going to ask Emily questions about the movie.
You've seen it how many times?
It's an intricate movie. There are multiple things that you don't get the first time around or the 6th time around.
The second.
Apparently not.
I need to see that movie a second time, but then that would be it.
Yeah, I think that's good. Movie. You do need to see it a second time because it's multiverse and there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot going on.
It's confusing. So to watch it the second time, I get 7 in a year.
It's a lot.
I mean, other than The Rock.
I don't think anybody's, other than Emily, advocating for herself, which I respect, is saying, oh, no, 7's not. 7's not that unusual. It's unusual.
It's 365 days, guys. There's plenty of hours to fill in the day.
But this is what's amazing to me is that you have so much time to listen. You watch all these other movies and all this. Like you're constantly watching things.
She's good with her time.
I will say this.
I
kind of share the thing. Like if I like something, I will rewatch it. But it's not. I don't go and watch a million new things along the way. If I'm flipping channels, like we were talking about, I see something I like, I'll pop in.
Sure.
But I'm not efforting to find that thing that often in that short period of time.
It's not slander, Sam. I actually appreciate that you love movies that much. I just thought it was a lot. And so I thought it was a good question for What's Up, Fool.
Capitana Matt says, how many times has Travis seen Lindsay Lohan's Freaky Friday? Because I've watched it probably 20 times.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's so good. I used to love it as a kid.
So my Lindsay Lohan fandom is very limited.
Selective?
It's selective. Thank you, Al. That's a better word. I have seen Mean Girls a lot. I've seen a lot.
I'm a
fan. I like that movie.
Screening this Saturday, Thousand Oaks.
But I don't know if I've seen it beginning to end 7 times. And how old is that movie? It's got to be closing in on 20 years.
Right? Yeah, it's got to be.
You're talking about
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Like, it's be 2006. 20.
Yeah. So we're getting closer. Oh, I saw The Canyons once. That was so dreadful. I'm like, no.
This is pretty.
It's about the Christmas movie.
Christopher Holmes says, should Emily get an honorary Oscar for Everything All at Once for being single-handedly responsible for the box office?
She
made a noticeable impact, right?
I replied yes.
You're right about that.
Here are the numbers before
Christmas
Emily
movie.
Came in. When she came in, they spiked.
Did you ever see the Lindsay Lohan Netflix Christmas movie that came out last holiday season, Greg?
I think you and John were the only two.
I did not watch it. I watched a ton of them. I did not watch that one. I just couldn't get myself to do it.
I think John said
he didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss anything. But it's Lindsay Lohan.
It's not this Lindsay Lohan. It is current Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
I like
the
Mean Girls.
About to be a mother Lindsay Lohan.
Let's go back. Congratulations to her. I hope that she has
all happiness in the world.
Yes. A very uneventful, healthy, happy pregnancy, and they deliver a bouncing baby, girl or boy, and everybody's thrilled. Lindsay Lohan.
She's pregnant.
Really?
She's expecting.
Good for you.
Are you not on the internet?
No. I
am not listening to the dump?
I'm not on that portion of the internet.
I am.
Trav, you don't listen to the dump? Come on, man.
By the way,
I'm getting Everything Ever All at Once, the score on vinyl for my sister. It was a late Christmas present. So,
wait, you're getting it for her or she's getting it for you?
She's getting it for me. Okay. It's coming in the mail.
Okay, how many times has she seen it?
She's seen it once with me.
That's the correct amount. That's maybe twice. Two is like, I really like that. I'm going to watch that again.
When you're ready to see it? Ask him.
I'm good.
So I was in a meeting, but I missed Ask Travis.
Yeah, you got one for me?
No, I don't, but I just want to know what was the best question that you got out of it.
Well, both George like and Mason had good ones.
Sedano's was a long answer, which means it was a really good question.
Sedano asked me if I could own a restaurant, what type of restaurant I would own. That's a
really good question. Actually, Mason's, too, got you to Mason open up
was,
about your...
What was my drunkest night in Isla Vista?
Oh, when that, I was God, student. I want to hear that story. I'm going to go back and listen.
There's also a good one. Now I have another one from Cappy. So Cappy says, Trav, if you could play a rematch against anyone at the stage, do you want us, as in Sedano Cap, again? And do we pose as a potential threat at all?
Greg and Clinton.
I'm going to answer the second part first. No, they do not. And they do not pose much of a threat. That was not terribly competitive. That was pretty lopsided. Hence the answer that those two guys gave, which was
we got our asses handed to us.
We did,
right? By Travis and Sliwa.
We did. They did.
I do want to clarify when you play them again.
Yeah.
Sedano did not have a microphone in his pocket.
Did not have a microphone in his pocket.
So it would be
still
tougher.
Beat him in two games.
I would like to play him again, though, for that reason. Mm-hmm. That if George put down the mic and just focused on playing as opposed to playing and hosting.
And emceeing.
Yeah, I think
basically
it might be
a little
like
more interesting. Cocktail hour. He's holding drinks for everybody. He's doing everything.
I mentioned it to you yesterday. I think that the match is you and me against Sedano, Cap, and Bergman. Like, we give them three guys on the court at the same time.
No,
like, we put those three
here.
Guys on
Listen
there, and then we do it.
Go to break. That's nonsense.
I feel like that's the best possible matchup. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Still going to stand by this. Everything Ever All at Once is a great movie. Everyone should go see it once.
Can I just say, Factor Cap and Ashley have the best opens on the station.
They're pretty good.
They're great. And Hey Did You See? Hey Did You See is in my head all day long.
Is that Glenn Campbell in the open for Hey Did You See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
These are the best opens by far.
Yeah.
All right, so, you can go ahead now. Sorry.
Well, thank you, Greg. Maybe it'll win us a Mandy Award, and we'll have that, and then we can have it thrown against
best
the wall.
Couldn't Chris get the
throw
credit?
It against the wall.
Wouldn't Chris get the credit for the Mandy's?
Actually, no. I made both of those.
Good for you.
You made both of those?
Then you deserve it.
Yeah.
You created those?
Yeah. Well, not Astley. I made Factor Cap and Hey Did You See?
Oh, these are great.
Thanks. Okay.
You know, like, I'm a little less.
Sorry. Now Chris is going to be mad at me because I said something nice about somebody else.
All right. So Lamar Jackson still does not have an agent and is still trying to get a deal done with the Ravens or whomever else will give him
maybe an offer. Not the Ravens, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a lot of reasons why he might not have chosen an agent, but also a lot of it is because you do have to pay an agent. You have to pay an agent a certain amount of your salary, and it's a lot for some people that they don't want to pay out or get that amount of leeway.
Yeah, there's a percentage fee,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it got me thinking about how sometimes the money is worth it to give it to a professional. That there are things like, I don't know, an electrician. You're not going to do electrician stuff yourself. So there are certain things that you need to hire a professional for that you cannot do yourself. Travis, Factor Cap.
Oh, 100% fact.
99% of our life.
Yeah, that outsourcing something to an expert is almost always a good idea. Like, if you have the ability to hire somebody that is the best at blank,
yep,
go get that person. If you have the ability to go get somebody that's even pretty good at it and you're not, go get that person. When it comes to negotiating $100 million contracts, right. I think I'd like to have somebody that's done that before. I don't know. And by the way, you can negotiate the percentage, right? You don't. It's not written in law somewhere. Well, I get 5% of this.
Sure.
No. Then I'm gonna. Will you do it for two? Yeah. Okay. We'll go with you. There. Yes. Spend the money if you can to hire expertise.
Berg.
Yeah, it's fact. I mean, especially for everything Travis is saying. But if it's something that's massive for your life and for your well-being and all those types of things, yes, you should 100% go get a professional. I mean, anything with my car, I try and do myself. But for things like maybe for my house or for if I ever had to negotiate a contract, which I don't have contracts, I would do that because I'm not good at that stuff. I don't understand how all that stuff works. So, yes, I'm fact, 100%.
Al?
So, fact, but okay, for me, sometimes you kind of look at the industry. Are there any athletes that you know? What percentage of athletes do not have agents? Probably very, very small.
Very.
Okay, so, and the only reason why I set it up that way if you're Patrick Mahomes and you already know that you're going to get everything, if you're Shohei Ohtani, you already know you're going to get everything. I'm not saying don't get an agent, but there are only one Patrick Mahomes. There's only one Shohei Ohtani. So right. In the NBA, you're going to be capped at a certain amount anyways. You can't make any more. And if you're the best player, Luka probably doesn't have to. If he didn't have an agent, he's probably still going to get the same deal. I'm not saying don't have one. But for a lot of these other guys, that's not the case. I don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to get. Doesn't he want somebody that this is all he does every single day is worry about that stuff? You're crazy on the car thing because for me, all that stuff, I'm going to an expert for it.
You can't change your tire?
I can change a tire, but I'm like, if
can
I...
Can you do your oil?
If I need a new transmission,
no, no, no. Like, if you want to change a light in your... If you like a tail light, can you change your tail light?
That, the mechanic's doing that.
Yeah, AAA is everywhere. They're everywhere for me.
See, I go to AutoZone. Now, here's the thing. If
I put the effort into it, I could probably figure it out. I just have no desire to figure it out.
Yeah, my dad used to change all of our oil himself. And again, worked on these cars for a long time.
But that could be like a therapeutic thing where, I'll give you an example. My mom to this day doesn't have a gardener. She likes going outside and they got a pretty decent size.
Does she like mow the grass?
She doesn't. Our grass is basically dead. There's like no grass, okay? But for the most part, like she's always planting and gardening and this. She likes doing that. She's picking up weeds. But she does that more therapeutic than she does for anything else.
The one thing I'll throw in about like the Patrick Mahomes example, you're right. Like he's going to get the most, right? So there's not like you're going to squeeze the last
dollar.
But
it's everything else that comes outside of his contract.
But it's the language in the contract. You want a lawyer to look at the language in the contract that there's not something in there that, oh, by the way, if you cross the street against the light, the contract's voided.
Right, or like
you're going to want somebody to look at that to make sure.
Pay $20 online.
No, for Luka Doncic, like if you can't weigh this legal much suit. Money, like or weigh this much on your weight, like that's going to cause a problem.
Taylor,
fact, absolutely, you need professionals for a lot of things, like medical stuff. You need doctors. You need
haircuts.
Trav can do tattoo appointments. Trav does all his own dentist work.
No way. Yeah, would you hire going to the dentist?
Or would you get someone to get the raccoons out of your backyard? Would you pay for that, or do you want to do it yourself?
The city will do it for free. Just call them.
What if it wasn't free? What if it wasn't free?
I don't care if they're in my backyard. I just don't want them in my room. So
yeah, I don't want them under your bed.
Been closing the door, and that handled it surprisingly.
It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. So a woman posted on TikTok saying, this is the quote that she said. So 6 years ago when I was 19, I ghosted the nicest guy who had the best intentions for me. And then she said, and tell me why he's the person that's interviewing me for a job that I desperately need tomorrow.
Oh, man.
So essentially, she goes to the guy 6 years ago. Guy has her fate in her hands right now. So this is the worst case scenario for an interview. Greg, fact or cap?
I mean, God, I have to cap because I'm sure there's a worst case scenario that exists, but this one's really, really bad. If she's going on TikTok and doing this, it's also kind of like, hey, you were a wonderful person and I didn't do anything at all. It just happened to work out that way.
Such a great guy. You've ghosted me.
You were so good. You were such a great
human.
She's
lying.
She's 100% lying and trying to make it seem like it's a nice thing. It's garbage. She didn't like him.
Al?
I lean towards fact on this one because you don't have what you're out. Like, you can't really say anything. And if this guy is, and I'm sure he is, holding a grudge or something along those lines, the tables have turned. Now he's sitting there saying, like, so where do we go from here? You know?
I go fact on that one.
I would be the guy that does the interview. I would make her think she's going to get it. I would string her, like, call her back for second and third interviews and just bleed her. Just right? Like, all the way to the end. Like, oh, you think I was a nice guy? Watch this.
Do you have an agent for your contract?
There is one worse scenario. So it's Cap.
Okay.
Your ex-wife or husband who you got caught cheating on, that's worse. If your ex-wife is interviewing you and you're divorced because you were doing something you
but
weren't
also,
supposed
you
to be doing.
You shouldn't be interviewing for that company.
Probably
anyway.
Not, but you're asking for a worse scenario. I think that would be one of the worst ones.
Taylor?
Fact. This is pretty bad. And what do you do in this situation? I mean, if you do get the job, then you have to work with that person for a long time. So it's not that great to begin with. I don't know.
Unless they're just like a recruiter, just an HR person where you don't actually interact with them.
Do you pretend you don't know them walking into it?
Oh, you can't do that, right?
I don't know.
That would be.
What if they don't recognize you?
What if the other guy's like really sore about the whole thing and you're like, I don't even remember you.
I would just cut my losses and
get
out of there.
But also, 6 years ago, they might not remember them. Like, I've ghosted people 6 years ago, and people have also ghosted me 6 years ago, and I don't remember them at all. Mm. So it might just be that she might be the only person.
Time might play on her side a little
She's
bit.
Lying. Yeah. She's absolutely lying. You're setting up that TikTok just for that.
Yep.
All right. So Sofia Coppola's daughter, who is the she is the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola, who made The Godfather. So her daughter, so Francis Ford Coppola's granddaughter, Rami Mars is her name. She also went to TikTok and said this. She says, I'm going to make a vodka sauce pasta because I'm grounded because I tried to charter a helicopter from New York to Maryland on my dad's credit card because I wanted to have dinner with my camp friend. So this is what she said to TikTok, saying that she got grounded for this. So this is rooms for grounding. This is very in the
parents.
How
old is this granddaughter?
She looks like she's around like 14. Okay. So she's not very old, but she can't drive herself, essentially, is the thing. So Alan, this is room for grounding.
Anytime you're going behind, it's fact. Anytime you're going behind your parents' back, you don't have to go to that extreme level. I mean, it sounds like she's living a really tough life.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people related to her on TikTok, but I think just the concept, the concept of lying to your parents or doing something behind their back, it doesn't even matter what it is. If you're taking their credit card to buy something, you're not getting their, you know, approval for something like that. Yeah, grounds for being grounded.
Trev.
So I think kids are supposed to lie to their parents. It's one of those things that's healthy. You test boundaries. You do all these things. And as the parent, you understand that there is big stuff and little stuff. And almost all of it is little stuff that they're going to lie. What time did you get home? Well, I got home at 10. You know they came home at 12:30. That's not a big deal. As a parent, Greg, you can appreciate this. There is nothing your child could do to make you not love them.
Of course.
But this comes close. The chartering of 14-year-old attempting to charter a helicopter on your credit card.
Yeah, and have dinner with your camp friends.
Take the train.
Yeah. Look, charter a limo, right? A helicopter. Like, what are we doing here? That's grounding. That is you're hanging on by a thread, kid. You're going to go live with your uncles or something.
Which one of them is Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is her uncle. All right, Berg?
Well, there's that part of it, too. Like, look at who we're talking about
here. The Coppola
here.
Family, yeah.
This is Sofia Coppola's daughter, right?
Yeah.
And Francis Ford Coppola's granddaughter. And Nicolas Cage is involved in this. Chartering a helicopter is not normal for this family.
Yeah.
This is a thing that happens.
That's a taxi for them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This is like, who was it that one of the Kardashians that tried to get a flight from, like, Ventura to Van Nuys?
To Camarillo. It was Van Nuys to Camarillo. Yeah, honestly, I think that's what it was.
Right, which is a five-second flight.
Well, it can't be more than 20 miles.
No.
So it's 30 tops.
But this is the world that they live in. Mm-hmm. So grounding is like normal. It's like, okay, yeah, all right, I screwed up. I probably should have just gotten the private plane instead, but I wanted to go on the helicopter because I thought it would be more fun. That's what that was about.
Taylor?
A fact. This is Cap for Greg. Yeah, I mean, she, what'd she get grounded to? Like her parents' guest house, like 11-bedroom guest house. You got to go stay in there.
Card, so
it can't be that bad.
She has a 6,000 square foot spot that she's grounded in.
That's just the room. That's just the room, by the way. It's a 30,000.
Take the train next time. You get away with it.
Yeah, just hire an Uber. They probably would like, what's an Uber? They'd say it's a couple $1,000 round trip.
Yeah.
The Coppolas probably don't. They're going to notice the helicopter charge.
Also, wouldn't she have to get an Uber to wherever the helicopter can land? Unless, I guess, she has a large backyard where she could probably have a helicopter
on the roof
land.
Of the house.
It does land on the roof of the house. I don't need to see the house. I know it lands on the roof of the house.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a little breaking Paul George news that we'll have for you when we come back. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, so OKC beat the Clippers last night.
Yep.
That's part one of what happened with the Clips. Part two was late in the game, Paul George suffered a knee injury. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN sources, after imaging today, Clippers star Paul George has a sprained right knee and will be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. So 2 to 3 weeks is the end of the season, right? That is whether the Clippers are in the play-in or not, time will tell. Whether they're out of it or not, time will tell. But this is the language, Slee, that always makes you go, okay, he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks. That doesn't mean he's going to play in 3 weeks. That means they'll take another look at it and determine what happens next after 3 weeks.
So let's just say he's reevaluated in 3 weeks. Then that means you're probably in the first round of the playoffs. That's if you're making the playoffs. And for the Clippers, it's no guarantee or lock. I know you look at them, you say, wow, they're in the fifth spot. They're 38 and 35. They're fine. They got nothing to worry about. Lakers have 37 losses. They're in 11th, tied for basically 11th, 12th, them and the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. That's only a two-loss difference.
I know.
So, I mean, we could sit here. that it's a really unfortunate circumstance for the Clippers because, yeah, you kind of start looking back. And I know we spent so much time talking about the Lakers, but the Clippers are a team that I think every time we've talked about them, we have said, yeah, they got a really good roster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they got, you know, maybe they got a shot here. They've just kind of been load managing the Kawhi and the PG thing, but they got depth, they got the right coach, they got this, they got that. And then here they are again with just 10 games left on the season. A critical game. You know, that was a big game for them yesterday. Sure they lost to the Thunder, and Shai Gilgeous was one of the players they traded away, and he basically takes over the game he's unbelievable young superstar in the NBA. The Clippers, this is going to be, you know, this is their fourth year together, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. 2019-2020, that's the bubble year where they end up losing up three games to one.
They blew it.
The following year, that's the 2021 season. If I'm right, that's the year that they make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, but Kawhi got injured. So I actually give him so much credit to get to the Western Conference Finals that year. They ended up being the Utah Jazz.
They got
Jazz.
To the Western Conference Finals because Paul George went nuts.
Paul George went nuts, and Kawhi was out to close out the series against the Utah Jazz. Last year, 42-40, did not make the playoffs. Remember, Kawhi was out. And then they make it to the play-in tournament, lost both games, and were
That's
gone.
Right.
They were eliminated.
That's right.
Paul George in the final elimination game had health and safety protocols and couldn't That's play right. in that. And then here they are this year. I'm going to go back to this. They're 38-35. I think they got enough talent to make the play-in tournament.
Sure, and they still have a transcendent star.
But it's also not a lock. Okay, let's say they make the play-in tournament. And then they get eliminated in the play-in tournament. That's not out of the ordinary. Okay, let's say they just get to the playoffs in the first round and they're out again. It's going to be 4 years with those two players together, and what do you really have to show for it?
Not much. Breaking news on 710 is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. I need to be very careful about how I phrase this because the last time I tried this, I did it incredibly poorly and infuriated a bunch of Clipper fans along the way. My gosh, are the Clippers snake bit. That every time you feel like they're getting ready to kind of go do a thing, they get this terrible luck, right? It's like the universe has really said, not the – it's just Kawhi, like you mentioned a couple of years ago, right as it felt like, okay, there's a bunch of really good momentum on the Clippers, he gets hurt. Paul George gets them to the conference finals for the first time, but without Kawhi, they're pretty limited.
That was by far the furthest you could go without Kawhi Leonard.
For sure. And right now, you still have Kawhi. Kawhi's playing awesome all of a sudden, but you lose your second-best player in Paul George right before this is the playoffs are about to start, right before you're about to go into a play-in series or a playoff series. That if you're a Clipper fan, the sky is always falling at the worst possible time. That your two best players you've lost right before the playoffs are in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. That's just incredibly terrible luck.
You also think about it, which is kind of crazy thing about it. When they went up 3-1 against the Nuggets in Orlando in the bubble, you're thinking to yourself, this might be the class of the NBA for the next few years. The Los Angeles Clippers. Watch out for them. Kawhi and PG are hooking up together, and they're going to kind of represent the Western Conference. They end up losing that series, and that might be the closest they, you know, this at least in this run, since that Orlando bubble, they've kind of gone the other way. I know you could say, well, they got to the Western Conference Finals. I'm not taking anything away from that. But to see them, to potentially see another year go by and PG and Kawhi are not competing for a chance to go make the NBA Finals. That's unfortunate.
Well, it's a huge problem that we, you know, because we are the Lakers station, because the Lakers are the most popular team in town, because the Lakers are the biggest team in the NBA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have so much attention on that organization. The way this has gone, and we're getting close to the point where either or both of them could say, you know what? Thanks for everything, but I'm going to the next stop, right?
Next year's the final year for both of them.
They both have player options beyond that, but let's say that Paul George is not healthy enough to impact the Clippers this year, and they do something other than make the NBA Finals, which is probably pretty likely.
Yeah.
They come back next year. Look, who knows what it is, but...
But it's similar, where they're hanging around in the West, but there's still four or five teams that got a shot.
Thank goodness that they are the B team in town, because this is one of the great failures of NBA roster building over the last 10 years or so, where you have two of the 10 best players in the league, 10, two of the 15 best players in the league, whatever it is, and you paid a premium to go get both of those two guys, and you got one trip to the finals that really didn't give you a great chance, or the conference finals that didn't give you a great chance to get to the NBA finals because your very best player was injured. That we talk about the late, oh, Russell Westbrook didn't work, and they should have kept Alex Caruso, and they shouldn't have kept THT, or whatever these things.
Yeah.
The Clipper thing is far worse, because no matter what happens to the Lakers moving forward, they got one. Anthony Davis won a championship. They mm-hmm. spent all of their money, assets, capital, whatever you want to call it. They won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James won a championship. This has gotten them to the Western Conference Finals one time with a very slim chance of advancing beyond that.
Yeah.
They kind of used up all their luck just to get there in the first mm-hmm. place. And now George goes down again, and you're at the end of the line potentially next year? My goodness.
So no one, I think, will ever question. I remember when that deal was going down, and they had to give up all these picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the conversation was, you're not giving up the picks just for Paul George. Kawhi Leonard's not signing with you unless you get Paul George with you, right? That was right. kind of the idea and the concept. But now that the dust settles, here's a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not saying that the Clippers should not make the trade. By no means am I saying that.
Of course.
But what you're saying is it has failed to this point. You have not made the NBA Finals. The Lakers did get a championship in that same window that you had those players. And then you got a young superstar coming up in the Oklahoma City Thunder. You got all these picks that they have. It could just go down as one of those that they gambled, they took the chance, they took the right risk, and it just didn't work out.
I'm glad you said it like that. There's this idea that if it doesn't hit, it was a terrible idea. Sometimes really good ideas don't work, right? Sometimes doing the right thing does not result in the ultimate prize. There's not a team out there that if you said to them, hey, you can get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, this is the price, that they wouldn't say, yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
They're both fantastic NBA players. Kawhi Leonard is a multiple-time finals MVP. Mm-hmm. He's proven that he can be the best player on a championship team. He's done it two different places. We left him off the list when we were talking earlier. He's absolutely
yep.
on that list. It just didn't work for whatever reason. You could argue that the rest of the team wasn't good enough. You could argue that you had the wrong coach at the wrong time, whatever it might be.
Injuries at the wrong time,
mm-hmm. that bad luck, but that wasn't a bad deal. It's an expensive deal. It just didn't work. And I don't want to say, because obviously Ballmer and the people in the Clipper organization, Clipper fans care, but because they're in this colossal shadow made by the Lakers, mm-hmm. people outside of their own family don't really notice. It's not like the Clippers not winning something with Kawhi and PG does not lead First Take 4 days a week.
No, it doesn't.
The Lakers could be bad, it leads First Take. The Lakers mm-hmm. could be great, it leads First Take. Anthony Davis blows a game, it leads First Take. Anthony mm-hmm. Davis gets 50, it's First Take. LeBron James comes back, it's First Take. He doesn't play, it's First Take. They never are in that spotlight. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that doesn't make Steve Ballmer sleep any better at night, but from the rest of the NBA universe, nobody's really paying attention to that.
Well, it's unfortunate news. Now, again, he gets reevaluated in a couple weeks. So, by the way, this is all it's kind of interesting to see all these teams in the West. Luka's going to eventually come back. He might even play tonight against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns, from what I understand, is coming back tonight.
Ja might play tonight.
Okay. Ja, I think, supposed to come back tonight as well.
Rockets.
What other players that have been? I'm just kind of trying to think. LeBron's supposedly we're going to get news tomorrow.
Still waiting on Wiggins too.
Wiggins, I think, will be coming back soon as well. But there are so many good players that could kind of change. Like right now, we're looking at the standings and we're saying, "Oh, well, look how far this team is." KD will eventually come back for the Phoenix Suns. So
LeBron James.
You got so many superstars that. Yeah, I think tomorrow's a three week mark for Braun, so we're supposed to get some type of supposed to get reevaluated.
We've got a good candidate for somebody that could play me in a movie. Plus, how rich is Shohei going to get? We know rich, but how rich? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.